Thank you for having me today, also for the opportunity to present my research. My name is Nanum, as Neil introduced me. I'm a final year PhD student at New York University, working in the Yajin Aliamud and also Roman Tsukushima. I'm going to talk about one of my work today, but sorry, before I begin, let me introduce myself in a minute. So I have broad research interests in cosmology, which and have been working on various topics. These include cosmological recombination, CMB, large-scale structure, especially in redshift space distortion, and also Hubble tension, Kenyon centimeter, and dark matter wavelength scattering with focal Planck operator. So this is a list of my work, and there are several ongoing and future projects. If anyone want to discuss about any interesting idea regarding these topics or anything else, I'll be happy to chat. Among these projects I have worked on, today I'm going to talk about my work on the Hubble tension. So here is the title again. This work is done together with Yajin Aliamud and Nils Schoenberg at Barcelona, and also Vivian Flynn at Montpellier. This work was published in PRL last year, and there is archive number below just in case. So the title of my talk is Data-Driven Solutions to the Hubble Tension. The title of our paper, which is what it takes to solve the Hubble tension through modification of cosmological recombination, make us think this work is only related to recombination. However, the method we developed in our paper can be applied to search for many kinds of solutions. So this title, Data-Driven Solutions to the Hubble Tension, I think better describes our work. Then let me begin. So this is the outline of my talk. I'm going to first talk about the motivation of this work and how we set up the problem. And then I'm going to talk about the method we developed, and at the end, applications of our method searching for solutions to the Hubble tension. So first, motivation. In cosmology, we have standard lambda CDM model with six parameters. Omega C here is fractional energy density of dark matter, and omega B is Pavarian, and H naught is the Hubble constant characterizing expansion rate of the universe today. And tau is the optical depth, and AS is the amplitude of primordial power spectrum, and NS is for each slope. With only six parameters, this lambda CDM model has been successfully providing great fit to cosmological data set. However, there is a famous tension in the Hubble constant. First, there is inferred value of Hubble constant coming from Planck CMB anisotropy data. So this early universe observable tells us the Hubble constant is around 67 kilometers per second per megaparsec with an uncertainty of 0.5 on the lambda CDM model. And the local measurement from huge collaboration using type 1a Zhifonovy calibrated using separate variables gives us much larger number, larger value, which is around 73 plus minus 1 kilometer per mega second per megaparsec. And these two results are in around 5 sigma tension. Given the successful story of the lambda CDM model, this tension has been bothering many cosmologists, including me, and being one of the most pressing issues in modern cosmology. This tension can be due to either some unknown systematics or incompleteness of our cosmological model. And we do not know yet which one is indeed the origin of this issue. In this talk, I will not consider the possibility of unknown systematics, but instead, I will focus on the possible incompleteness of our cosmological model, which has been inspiring many people to look for extensions to lambda CDM model. And in this effort, people usually try to get a larger value for the Hubble constant from CMB by modifying lambda CDM model, because this so-called inferred value of Hubble constant from CMB relies on the underlying cosmological model, unlike the local measurement, which is more direct measurement. There have been lots of proposed models for this purpose, which are usually some extensions or some kind of a new physics, starting from Lambda CDN model. And these models can be categorized into two, depending on which epoch the new physics mainly modifies. In the next few slides, I'm going to briefly review what kind of modification is needed to resolve this Hubble tension. So we need to first look into some feature in CMB anisotropy spectra. And to understand this, we need to first understand how perturbations are evolved in early time. In very early time, the universe was hard and dense and very homogeneous with only an order of 10 to the minus 5 fluctuations in density. With efficient scattering between electrons and photons, baryons and photons formed a tightly coupled fluid. And due to pressure in this baryon-photon fluid, the overdensity drives a shock wave that expands at the sound speed of baryon-photon fluid. And as the universe cools down, the electron and proton start to recombine for the first time, forming a neutral hydrogen, and then the photons are released from baryons. This decoupling process is called the cosmological recombination. And the photons released at this time is what we are seeing as CMB photons. And this plot here illustrates this situation very simply. Here, black curve is dark matter over the density, and blue is for baryon, and red dash is for photon. There is also for neutrino, but for our purpose, we can just ignore it. And initially, there was a point-like overdense region at the origin, and due to this overdensity, a shock wave in baryon-photon fluid is induced, and baryon-photon travel outward together until they decouple from each other. So the top left and top right panels show baryon-photon fluid traveling away from the origin as a pulse. And due to gravitational potential produced by this fluid, dark matter is dragged to this fluid. And at recombination, which is around redshift 1100, photon and baryon decouple from each other. And once they are decoupled, photons travel freely, and baryon evolves together with CDM by gravitational interaction. So middle panels show what happens after decoupling. Photons shown as red dashed line start to travel freely, and in the location of peak in the baryon perturbations is determined by distance this baryon photon fluid traveled until decoupling with sound speed. And this is what we call sound horizon scale. And bottom two panels show how baryon perturbations evolve gravitationally interacting with the dark matter. Baryon and dark matter attract each other by gravitational interaction, and at the end, their overdense region becomes almost the same. And as you can see, the peak feature existed in baryon perturbations at sound horizon scale around 150 megaparsec is now imprinted in dark matter perturbations as well. So this feature will exist in the polar matter perturbations. So this peak feature around 150 megaparsec is what we are seeing in galaxy two-point correlation function. And this peak at certain scale makes oscillatory feature in Fourier space. And that's what we are seeing in matter power spectrum or galaxy power spectrum. And this oscillatory feature is also imprinted in CMB angular power spectra, because freely traveling CMB photon after decoupling inherit this feature as well. There is one subtlety here. So there are two sound horizon scales. One is at recombination, and one is at baryon drag epoch. So the recombination epoch is usually defined as the time when a photon last scattered with baryon. So after this time, photon travels freely. But however, even after photon decoupled from baryon, baryon still feels some drag force by photon because there are so many freely traveling photons compared to baryon. So it takes a little bit of more time until baryons decouple from photon. So this is what we call a baryon drag epoch, which is a little bit later than recombination. So when we see this BAO feature in matter or galaxy power spectrum, as shown in this plot, the sound horizon scale we are talking about is sound horizon scale at baryon drag epoch. And when we see oscillatory acoustic oscillation in CMB spectra, the sound horizon scale is at recombination. So then let's look at the CMB angular power spectrum. So this is CMB temperature angular power spectrum measured by Planck. So the blue curve is best fit prediction. The locations of peaks are well measured with an order of 0.1% accuracy. And the location of peak is closely related to the angle subtended by sound horizon scale of barium photon fluid at decoupling or at recombination because we are seeing CMB right now. So this angle is determined by two quantities, RS and dA, as I show here. So the RS in numerator is the sound horizon scale at recombination, which is polar distance barium photon fluid traveled until recombination, which is also shown in the first equation. And the dA in the denominator is the angular distance to the last scattering surface or recombination, which is shown in the second equation. Since this location of peak is well measured by Planck, if we want to find some extension to Lambda CDM model, we should not mess up with this angular scale theta s. That is, in any non-standard cosmological model, any change in numerator should be compensated by change in denominator or vice versa. So this usually has been a starting point when people try to come up with some modifications in Lambda CDM model to resolve this Hubble tension. So there have been lots of proposed solutions to the Hubble tension, and these solutions can be categorized into two: late time solutions and early time solutions. Late time solutions try to achieve a larger value of a Hubble constant by decreasing the energy density of the universe at relatively later time so that we get a larger dA. Since this kind of late time modification does not impact the early time physics, hence does not change the sound horizon scale RS, so to keep theta s, H0 should be increased. But in the other hand, early time solutions try to decrease the sound horizon scale by either increasing energy density in the early time or by modifying recombination history so that it results in the increase in Hubble constant, decreasing the angular distance to the last scattering surface to keep the theta s. But this single number theta s is not the only thing we need to take into account. For example, the extra relativistic species, which is proposed to increase the energy density of the universe at early time, fails to provide a good fit to CMB, Planck CMB data due to its impact on damping scale, which is important for higher CMB spectra. So in short, this is because more extra relativistic species tend to wash out more perturbations of photon on smaller scales. So while this argument using theta s is a good starting point to come up with some useful ideas to resolve this tension, to finally check if such ideas are good solutions, one needs to fit the data and see how the fitting works. And this makes this effort of searching extensions to Lambda CDM model somewhat difficult. One needs to come up with first some model for new physics, and then needs to confirm whether it works with actual data or not. For this reason, this kind of search has been done by model-by-model approach, resulting hundreds of paper. And at this point, we were wondering whether one can develop a method to search for possible extension to Lambda CDM model in a somewhat model-independent way. So this was the motivation of this work. And with this motivation, let me show how we set up our problem in the paper. So again, there is one thing we need to keep in mind while searching for solutions. So while we want to get a larger value of Hubble constant through some modification in Lambda CDM model, we do not want to mess up with the fit to given data set compared to Lambda CDM model. So goodness of fit to data given theory can be characterized by this chi-squared, and given data or observations, This chi-squared is a function of theory. Predictions for considered observables. Then, by either doing some parameter estimations or minimizing this chi-squared, we can find best fit parameters and best fit chi-squared, which are again both dependent on underlying theory. So, if we consider some model which differs from the standard model, we will end up having somewhat different values of best fit parameters and best fit chi-squared, given the same data set, which is very obvious. So considering this simple fact, we set up the problem as shown here. So we will consider some physical quantity F, which can be in principle anything. And we will consider perturbations or small deviations from its standard value F. So this deviation is denoted as delta F here. Then, hoping to find some minimal extension to lambda CDM model, we try to find smallest possible deviations in F, which would result in new best fit parameters as we target, and at the same time, which would not worsen the fit to given data set compared to standard lambda CDM model. This is the problem we tried to solve in our paper, and this is well-defined and simple mathematical problem. And this constrained optimization problem can be solved exactly if we can calculate predictions for considered observables given any arbitrary delta F. So for example, if we consider CMB, Planck CMB data, and if we calculate CMB spectra with any arbitrary modification in F, by, for example, modifying some public linear virtual server class code, then by doing parameter estimation or by minimizing chi-squared, we can find new best fit and new best fit chi-squared. If that's possible, we can just let some minimizer solve this problem. However, this is computationally demanding as this minimization process requires a large number of predictions for observables, exploring lots of possible delta F. So in what follows, I will describe how we made this optimization problem computationally feasible using several approximations. First, our method is built on Fisher bias formalism. So let's see what this formalism is. Given data and theory, we can define Gaussian chi-squared as shown here. X of omega is my theory and omega is my parameters. And X of is considered observational data. And M is the inverse covariance matrix. And by Taylor expanding chi-squared around Fisher cosmology and minimizing it, we can estimate best fit cosmology, which is omega BF as shown here. And this expression for best fit estimation has been widely used to study possible biases in the best fit due to, for example, some noise of data or some systematic errors. This is what's referred as Fisher bias formalism. It shows how the estimated best fit will be biased, given some uncertain changes in differences between theory and observations. In what we have done, we took on kind of opposite route. So that is, if we have some expected or wanted best fit value for certain parameters, this new best fit may be achievable by modifying given theory in some way. In our case, we want to have a larger value of Hubble constant from early time observables such as CMB. And at the same time, so using this to achieve this value, we want to figure out what kind of modification is needed in the lambda CDM model. So this is the basic idea of what we have done. And I will show you explicitly how we proceeded with some equations involving a very simple algebra. So first, so this is chi-squared Taylor expanded around Fisher cosmology up to second order in deviation from Fisher parameter. So omega fit is my Fisher cosmology or Fisher parameters. And by using the fact that the first derivative of chi-squared at best fit should vanish, we can find this equation where F is usual information matrix, which is a second derivative of chi-squared. Then from there, by rewriting this equation, We can find expression for expected best fit as I'm showing here. And by plugging this into Taylor expanded chi-squared, we get following expression, which is the estimation for best fit chi-squared, given some theory and data. So this has the same kind of form as usual Gaussian chi-square, but with a new matrix M tilde, which is defined here. So as a side note, I want to mention that this matrix M tilde is the inverse covariance matrix after marginalizing over parameters. So you will see this kind of matrix when you do analytic marginalization over Gaussian likelihood over some subset of parameter. For example, it can be nuisance parameter in some model. And we are going to use these expressions for best fit parameter and best fit chi-squared. By the way, here we made some one approximation, which is Taylor expansion of chi-squared around Wiedersheim cosmology. And again, these two expressions are what we need, which tell us what would be best fit parameters and best fit chi-squared given theory and data set. And now we are going to consider new model X prime, which differs from standard model X by delta X. And here we are taking one more approximation. So assuming X is linearly dependent on F, we write this difference in predictions delta X as a linear combination of a small deviation in F at each redshift. So delta F zero simply means no modification or just the standard Randa-Schneider model. And now, if we replace the standard theory X in above two expressions for best fit parameter and best fit chi-squared with new theory X prime, then we get this final expression. So these two expressions are telling us how best fit and best fit chi-squared would change from those of standard model given arbitrary modification in F, which is delta F over G here. I'm assuming F can be written as function of G here, but it doesn't have to be function of G. It can be anything in principle. And the functional derivatives here needed for these expressions are I'm showing here. These three quantities are main building blocks for our method. So again, these are functional derivatives with respect to F over G at each redshift. And once these functional derivatives are obtained, we can estimate the shift in best fit and change in best fit chi-squared given any arbitrary delta F of G using two approximations above. So now we are really ready to solve this optimization problem we set up. So that is, we will search for new modification, some modification in F, minimizing its norm, since we want to find some minimal extension to Lambda-Schneider model, while requiring that the solution should result in new best fit as we target, and also the solution should not worsen the fit to given data set compared to Lambda-Schneider model. Here, the target best fit value will be in our case, since we want to solve or resolve the Hubble tension, this best fit value will be huge Hubble constant best fit. And I also want to emphasize here that the solution we will find is dependent on given data set, because best fit cosmology and best fit chi-squared are dependent on given data set. So that's why we are calling it as data-driven solutions. Until now, I didn't say anything specific about F. In principle, it can be anything. So in that sense, our method is quite general. But in our paper, as an example, we applied our method to some specific case, which is a time-varying electron mass modifying recombination history. And I will describe in more detail this example in the next part of my talk, including the result of this application, also implication of this research. Good. First, our method works given some data set. So, and my data vector can include any observables in principle. And in our work, we first consider Planck 2018 CMB data. And for high error data, we use Gaussian likelihood. And for low error data, we use low error TTEE compressed likelihood constructed by Prince and Dunkley in 2022. We also consider both anisotropic BAO measurement at 3 effective redshift. And here the m is co-moving angular diameter distance, and ID is sound horizon scale at barium drag epoch. And we also consider Pantheon plus uncalibrated supernovae, which constrain omega m, as I'm showing here. So with this cosmological data set, we repeat our analysis, trying to find solutions to the tension in three ways. We first include only Planck CMB data in our analysis, and then we further additionally include both BAO and also Pantheon plus. Then this will give us an idea whether we can find some possible solution resulting a large Hubble constant as we want, incorporating all of these three important data set. If not, it will still tell us what data set is making the situation difficult. And note that when we include Pantheon plus, instead of using actual supernovae data, we include its constraint on omega m by writing omega m as a function of our parameter small omega and h, as I wrote here. And as a next step, we need to define what kind of modification we will look for. As a possible extension to lambda CDM model, we consider a time-varying electron mass, because as I briefly reviewed in earlier part, one path to resolve the tension is to reduce sound horizon scale at recombination by modifying some early time physics. And as this scale is determined by when photon decouples from baryon, it is very sensitive to recombination process. For example, if we can make recombination happens earlier, this means earlier decoupling of photon from baryon, so there will be shorter amount of time for baryon photon fully to travel together. So this will give us a smaller sound horizon scale at the recombination. So as an example, we tried to find some modification in recombination history, and it was through a time-varying electron mass. The recombination rate depend on electron mass and fine structure constant, as I'm showing here. While these are just constant in lambda CDM model, it is possible that there may be some non-standard particle physics theory exist, which enables the evolution of electron mass or fine structure constant in time. So the physical quantity we want to modify here, which was written as F of G in my equations in previous slides, is now ME of G. Or I'm defining it more precisely, I'm defining it to be fractional change in electron mass.
Hey, Nana,
And
can I ask something?
yeah.
So if you're varying these sort of fundamental parameters, do you also then have to worry about, BBN changing at the same time?
We didn't consider the BBN constraint, but so later when I show you results, I'm gonna show you how you'll get an idea how our result is inconsistent with BBN constraint. You will see
Oh,
soon.
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thanks.
But we didn't consider in our paper explicitly. Maybe we made it just one sentence. We won't comment. But anyway, yeah. Thank you. And so these are dependencies of some important quantities for recombination process on electron mass and fine structure constant. So I'm not going to go into detail about this recombination process, but let me briefly give you what these quantities are. So A2S and A2P are the effective recombination rate to 2S and 2P stage. And B2S and B2P are the effective photoionization rate from 2S and 2P stage. And I2P2S, I2S2P are effective transition rate between these two states. And lambda 2S1S is a two photon decay rate from 2S stage to ground state. And sigma T is Thomson scattering cross section. And T effective is the effective temperature with which these effective recombination rate should be calculated when we have some non standard value for fine structure constant and electron mass. And we actually applied our method to both electron mass and time fine structure constant in our paper, but the results are very similar. So I'm gonna show you only results with electron mass in this talk. So now, as we decided what kind of modification we are gonna look for, all we need to do is to calculate all the necessary functional derivatives, and then we are ready to solve our optimization problem. Then let me show you how we did it. So the calculation of functional derivatives was done by using some Dirac delta like localized function for f of g or fractional change in m of g. And to cover all the relevant time for recombination, we consider redshift between 300 and 2500 and define 120 redshift points. At each redshift, we modify electron mass using some Gaussian localized function as I'm showing here. And using this function, we can calculate functional derivative numerically by doing two-side numerical derivative. And for this purpose, we modify linear Boltzmann solver class and also recombination called HiDEC2. And once we calculate this functional derivative for observable X, prediction for observable X, then we can calculate these functional derivatives of best fit chi-squared and also functional derivative of best fit parameters. And these are functional derivatives of best fit chi-squared. The first plot shows linear response. These curves show how much change there will be in best fit chi-squared compared to that of Landau-Schirmer model given a fractional change in electron mass by unity at each redshift. So for example, if there is a fractional change in electron mass by unity at redshift 1000, then chi-squared will increase by around 2. And green curve is for when we consider only Planck CME data, and the other two shows what happens as we add more data, such as both PAO and Phantom Plus. And the second plot shows a quadratic response or quadratic term. As you can see from this plot, this quadratic correlation can be important. For example, with 5% of modification in electron mass can induce comparable change in best fit chi-squared from both linear and quadratic terms. And so due to this quadratic term, it's not that simple to expect the change in best fit chi-squared given some shape of electron mass modification. If we had only linear term, then it would be much easier to guess what's going to happen in best fit chi-squared. And next, these are functional derivatives of best fit parameters with respect to fractional change in electron mass at each redshift. And one interesting observation here is that as you add more data, BAO and Phantom Plus, the amplitude of functional derivative of best fit Hubble constant, which is shown in the top right panel, decreases, implying that it becomes more difficult to change the best fit of Hubble. Or we can say that to increase Hubble constant by the same amount, we are gonna need larger modification in electron mass when we include more data such as BAO and Phantom Plus. These are functional derivatives for each parameter, but more interesting quantities are here. These curves are for h, omega m, and also omega m times h cubed. The curves for omega m and omega m times h cubed are obtained by doing some linear combination of functional derivative I have shown in the last slide. First, the functional derivative of best fit Hubble. Functional derivative of best fit Hubble and functional derivative of best fit omega m have almost the same shape, but with opposite sign. So I'm referring to blue and green curves here. So this implies that as we try to increase the Hubble constant, it's very likely that we will end up having a lower value of best fit omega m compared to Lambda CDM model. Or vice versa. If we wanna, we don't want it, but if we wanna get some lower value of Hubble constant, then we will end up having much more larger value of omega m at the end. So another interesting observation here is that there is a known dependence of theta s on omega m and omega n times h cube, and also g star, which is redshift at recombination, as I'm showing here. So what we are seeing from magenta curve is that since positive change in electron mass at recombination larger than 1000 accelerates the recombination, resulting smaller g star. If there is any positive change in electron mass, this should be compensated by increasing best fit value of omega m times h cube to keep these details. This is what's happening here. So these physical interpretations of a curve tell us the functional derivatives of best fit parameters we obtained are consistent with our expectation or underlying physics. So let me emphasize again, equipped with all of these functional derivatives, which I just showed you, we can estimate expected shift in best fit parameter and also the change in best fit chi squared for any arbitrary change in electron mass. So that is, now we can really solve our minimization problem. So we are going to minimize the normal fractional changes in electron mass while requiring such modification results in best fit Hubble as we want, and at the same time does not worsen the fit to given data set compared to lambda CDM model. And we do this by using some minimizer in Python SciPy package. And let me show you the main results of this one. So these are solutions we found. Each curve corresponds to a solution obtained with each target value of Hubble constant, as shown in the color bar, starting from Hubble constant from Planck CMB up to Hubble constant best speed of huge. Obviously, as we want to increase the best speed of value of Hubble constant, we need larger changes in electron mass. And since we want to see whether we can entirely resolve the Hubble tension, we will focus on one curve, which is black curve on top, which is obtained with a target value of Hubble constant as huge best speed value, which is 73.04. And these solutions rely on our approximation based on Fisher-Wyatt formalism. So to make sure these are really valid solutions, we need to do some consistency check. So hence, we implemented this time-bearing electron mass, the black curve on the plot, into class code and also recombination code Hyrax 2, and did parameter estimation to see whether this solution indeed results in the targeted Hubble constant, and also while to check if indeed this solution results in no increase in chi squared. And this is what we got. So blue contours are for lambda CDM model and red contours are for lambda CDM plus this time-bearing electron mass black curve on the left plot. So, and before talking about whether this solution resolves the tension, Hubble tension or not, let's look at the dashed line first. So these dashed lines are estimated best fit from our method, given this time-bearing electron mass. So using the expressions I showed earlier. And these estimations are indeed consistent with 1D posterior from MCMC analysis within around one sigma level, implying that our approximate method works quite well. So this agreement is not perfect, but however, and this will be due to the approximation we made, the Taylor expansion of chi squared and also assumed linearity of prediction in change in electron mass. But still, these are quite good agreements. So, and this small table actually shows resulting best fit, how resulting best fit deviates from the estimated value in our method. So if our method was exact without taking any approximation, then there shouldn't be any differences here.
And sorry, I just one more question. So in your solution, is there some sort of is there something causing the solution to have like zero variation at times far away from recombination? Like at those times, I would imagine that this time-bearing electron mass wouldn't change the observables much. And so then I mean, I would then think that the solution wouldn't be well constrained, far away from the time of recombination, but instead, the behavior is like goes towards zero. So I was just wondering if there's something like in the method enforcing that.
No, that I think so. As you said, the electron mass doesn't impact. It actually it has some very small impact on high G earlier than recombination because it
Oh.
impacts the damping scale.
Oh, okay.
That's why it doesn't go to zero. Otherwise, yeah. But if you look at the lower part around redshift 500, it becomes really zero, right? Because there is no any effect. So
I'm sorry,
except
say it again. I didn't quite catch that.
so the reason so I'm not sure if I get your question correctly, but the reason why I don't see non-zero value for electron mass at high redshift, that is because electron mass actually impacts the damping
Around.
scale.
Okay,
But
got
that's
it.
the only one. But main so and main effect to impact the CMB spectra will be coming from recombination EPAM. That's why we are seeing this large deviation only during the recombination.
Okay, all right, thanks.
And yeah, then let's see if this solution indeed solved the Hubble tension. Oh yeah, any question?
Yeah, just trying to make sure I understand this. Can you comment a little bit or help me understand what the fact that there's multiple peaks on this plot on the left mean? Does it mean like changes to mass in those different redshift rates could cause these H-naught shifts, or you need this particular shape in the
That's
redshift dependence?
yeah, thank you for question. That's the whenever I show this plot, that's the question I get. Or some people also ask question about if we can smooth this curve to get similar results, but that we really need this kind of shape to resolve this Hubble tension. The reason is, as I showed you and told you with this plot, it's kind of very difficult to expect, given some shape of electron mass, deviation in electron mass, it's very difficult to expect what kind of change we will have in Pacific high scale because of this quadratic term. If we didn't have this term, we can just match with this curve and see whether we are gonna get positive or negative change in best fit. But since this quadratic term is quadratic correction depends on or proportional to amplitude scale of deviation in ME of G. So it's very difficult to expect. So the shape we are getting is actually combination of this linear shape of linear response and quadratic term, and also all this shape of a curve, or in particular the shape of H curve. So it's not easy to expect what shape we are gonna get from these curves. But if we change a little bit from this curve by, for example, smoothing it or removing one peak, then we will get much larger positive change in, or much worse fit to CMB data, for example.
And I guess I have two follow-up questions. That one is, sorry if you mentioned it before, but are you imposing some kind of smoothing scale on like how quickly these variations can occur?
We are
And
not.
two,
Sorry, go
and
ahead,
the
go ahead.
second
Sorry.
one is, oh yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead. What was the second?
Oh, and the second one was, could you like if you were say doing like a full parameter space search rather than the sort of Fisher approximation? Is it plausible that there could be like sort of multiple local minima, like there could be multiple shapes that could give you this effect, but you know, looking sort of close to the best fit with this Fisher approximation, you find this particular shape?
Okay, so to your first question, we are not doing any smoothing here. So we are just modifying electron mass at each redshift and trying to construct solution which gives us large Hubble constant while not worsening the fit to data. So we are not doing any, something. Yeah. And to second question, so if we don't take any approximation, and if we can do it exactly, so I think you are asking if solution is unique or not. I think it should be unique, but so there will be, so in our case, let me, sorry. So we are solving this minimization problem. So in our case, we are imposing this chi-squared should be not greater than chi-square on the lambda CDN model. But what we can do is we can also impose the condition to be chi-squared, including huge result, to be a little bit better than lambda CDN, for example, or with some amount. In that case, we are going to have some different solution, different from this one. But so I'm saying there are multiple ways we can explore possible solutions using this method. But I think if we stick to one constraint, this should be a unique solution.
Yeah, thank you.
Hello. Question.
Yes.
There's another lambda CDM tension. The size of SH, sigma 8, the fluctuation parameter.
Oh yeah, I will talk about it in the next
account.
slide.
Have you taken into account the issue of sigma 8?
So here we only focused on Hubble tension, so we didn't consider it, this SA tension. But as I'm gonna show you here, indeed this solution a little bit relieved this SA tension, mainly because lower value of omega m.
So, experiment finally decides the size of sigma 8 and it disagrees with you. What does that mean?
So it means, so as I said, we focused on Hubble tension and didn't care about this SA tension, but this is just a result we get from our solution. So, but as you can see, the tension in SA is relieved a little bit compared to lambda CDN model. So if I have to conclude, this solution works better if we consider only CMB data and shears and also this SA constraint. But there is some how should I say, there is some limitation I'm gonna talk about next from this solution.
Before you... One other point is the anomalous magnetic moment of the electron is the most accurately measured number in physics. But this is, of course, at z equals to zero. It's a lab experiment. However, it's going to be different out there at your redshift change. So I guess that's possible.
Could I follow up on that? Maybe it's this plot here you have for small redshifts, you know, the fact that you go down to zero here, what are the observables that are giving you the constraint that are the best constraints from the CMB on the electron mass at low redshift?
So the reason why we get zero at redshift is just because we are minimizing its norm. So electron mass is, or so CMB spectra sensitive to electron mass only around recombination. So it doesn't know anything about electron mass value at lower redshift, but we are minimizing its norm to get some minimal extension to lambda CDN model. That's why we are getting some small value for electron mass or deviation in electron mass at lower redshift to get
I didn't hear the
too
word
much,
you're minimizing what?
minimizing the norm over this delta
I'm sorry.
electron change in electron mass. That's why we are getting this zero value.
But you
Thank you.
can't.
So does delta, sorry, like, so does delta here mean like the change between adjacent bins, or does it mean just the does it mean just the absolute value of the change?
Right. So this is, so maybe, yeah, it can be confusing, but this delta means delta ln m e over g is this curve, just deviation from standard value,
Okay,
fractional
so it's sort
change.
of like you have like a prior favoring having non-varying electron mass, and then the data is trying to push you away from the prior.
Sorry, can you repeat that again?
Well, so by minimizing this change in the electron mass, should I think of that, you know, sort of like a prior that you're imposing, you know, that favors having, you know, no change, you know, but the posterior can deviate from the prior due to the data. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you can see in that way because we don't want to find some extreme extension to lambda CDMA. That's the idea of this method.
Okay, got it.
But as I said before, this is just one way we can go with this method. But we don't have to minimize this norm. For example, instead of minimizing norm, we can minimize chi square, for example. But in that case, we actually tried that. If we try to minimize chi square, we are having very weird shape and very large changes in electron mass, which doesn't make sense. So we decided to minimize the norm.
When you say that the reason I'm asking the question is that if you have a model where you have a field that makes an excursion, then you'd expect it to be different for a period of time that's not narrowly focused on the redshift of the CMB. And what I'm hearing you say is that that's actually not necessarily excluded by the chi-squared fit. It would have been excluded by the requirement of the norm being small. Is that right?
So here I'm not trying to exclude anything, but I'm just giving you some example. So example of our method. So we minimize it just as an example.
Right.
And this is what we get. And as you said, so this is kind of sharp increase with some three peaks and also sharp decrease, which seems very unreasonable to model using some particle theory model. So that's another reason we can think this solution as some kind of not qualified solution to orbital tension.
The chi-squared one you mentioned just now, mm-hmm. what would it have given you instead of this?
So if I minimize chi-square, then this solution, amplitude of this solution becomes huge. And it has some very much more complicated shape, which doesn't make sense because what I'm doing currently is I'm taking some approximations. So Taylor expansion of chi-square and also linearity of observable in this change in ME. So if I have some very large solution or very large modification in ME as my solution, this solution will not work consistently.
Right. I know you're not trying to exclude a model, but if I was trying to exclude a model, is it easy to tell from what you've done? If I had a very big difference in the mass through this whole redshift region, would that be disfavored by, or can you tell with what you've done?
You mean constant number?
Yeah, say it was not smooth, not varying by much, but it was kind of in roughly the size that you're talking about there through that whole redshift range.
Then it will give us very bad fit to CMB data.
And the thing, what hurts it? Is it the large redshift or the small redshift?
You mean if we have some non-standard value on large or small redshift, not on recombination, then I don't think we are going to see any effect on CMB.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
There is a small effect from an electron mass on CMB at high redshift due to this diffusion damping, but this effect is very small. So unless this ME value is unrealistically large, then we are not going to see any effect on CMB.
I see. Thank you.
One more question.
Yes.
There are many possible proposed solutions of the Hubble tension. Have you considered others?
You mean what kind of solution?
Yeah, there are lots of solutions proposed.
Yes.
Have you considered other possible solutions?
So in our case, we also considered time-varying fine structure constant in our paper, but we saw very similar results. So I'm gonna I'm not gonna talk about it in this talk. And also, but in the future plan, I'm actually currently working on applying this method to modify primordial power spectrum as a function of K. That's one thing. And we also kind of planning to apply this method to modify the Hubble rate H of G in early time.
So how do we decide in the end which is the
correct? Sorry, John. So in view of the time, why don't we let Nanum finish his talk because it's almost noon?
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, I was going to say next, we really achieved this, well, we really entirely resolved this tension using this time varying electron mass, as you can see here. But so in this method, we only used CMB, Planck CMB data and constructed the solution. And we achieved this. But CMB, Planck CMB is not the only thing we have. We have, for example, both BAO and also Pantheon plus constraint on omega m. So if I look at the omega m value from this solution, as you can see, this becomes much less consistent with Pantheon plus. And we are now seeing kind of some around 3 sigma discrepancy between our solution and the Pantheon plus result. And also, but this is expected from what we saw before, the functional derivative of best fit Hubble constant and also omega m, they have very similar shape, but with opposite sign. So as we increase Hubble more, the lower value we are gonna get for omega m. And also, this model with the time varying electron mass becomes much less consistent with BAO result. So one conclusion here is this solution is not actually a good solution we are seeking for. And good. And what we can do next, before I talk about it. So even though the solution is not what we really want because it does not fit well the other cosmological data, BAO and Pantheon plus, it's still interesting to see how we can achieve this large Hubble constant from this time varying electron mass. So I'm showing you some electron mass or free electron fraction with this time varying electron mass, which is not small change. And also I'm also plotting visibility function at recombination, which is a probability that a photon last scattered at certain redshift. And as you can see, indeed this electron mass accelerate or made recombination happen earlier. That's how we achieved the smaller sound origin scale and recombination. So we achieved a larger Hubble constant value. But interesting thing is this change, fractional change is, this change is around an order of 10%, which is huge because today, today we have very accurate recombination calculations with the theoretical uncertainty of order of 10.1%. So this order 10% change is huge, but still this gives us a large Hubble constant and we also achieved no increase in chi-squared compared to lambda CD model. So what I'm saying is this method can be very powerful to search for some kind of extension to lambda CD model as a solution to Hubble tension. And I was gonna talk about this thing, but I think even this time I can skip. So the summary of this talk is we developed a method to search for possible extension to lambda CD model as a solution to the Hubble tension, and this built on feature bias formalism under several approximations. And while this can be applied to many new physics, we applied to time-varying electron mass, modifying recombination history. And when we consider only CMB data, we found a solution entirely resolving the tension between CMB, Planck CMB and Schuch. However, this solution becomes much less consistent with BAO and Pantheon plus data due to lower value of resulting omega m compared to lambda CD model. So, but again, let me emphasize that I'm not presenting this example as a successful solution. This is just one example. And our method can be used to search for many other things. And I'm currently working on modifying, as I mentioned earlier, modifying primordial power spectrum, and also planning to look into some modification in expansion rate H of G. there are some limitations of this one. And so we didn't try to model this time-varying electron mass from beginning. So we are lack of some model building effort. But what we really intended to do is if we had to find some nice smooth shape of electron mass solving this tension, it might inspire some model building effort from cosmology or particle physics community. That's the one main purpose of this work. And also by modifying, yes, there's any question?
Sorry, after you're finished, so I finish your talk. Sorry.
Okay, yeah. So I recommend one more thing. So by changing electron mass, for example, at each redshift, we are actually effectively adding infinite number of degree of freedom, right? So that in that sense, it's obvious we can achieve this kind of huge deviation from standard model while resulting in as good fit as the lambda CDM model to CME data. But so some people can say this is not good model because we are kind of putting or adding lots of more degree of freedom. But as I said earlier, if final solution was very smooth, and also if it was possible to model this solution using some particle physics model with fewer parameter, then this problem with many more degree of freedom will be relieved. Yeah, that's it. And this is the end of my talk. And thank you. If there's any question, yeah, I will take it.
Okay, great. Thanks, Tanu. Okay, yeah. So I'll give him a round of applause for his very interesting talk. Okay, great. So yeah, so let's just take a couple of quick questions. Sunyash, go ahead.
I was just wondering, you could have just added all the data together and maybe that's what you did. Like your chi-square, does it include all the data or just Planck data when you...
For this one, the result I mainly talked about is only with GMB data, but I didn't have time to talk about it. But we also tried to add BAO and Pantheon Plus all together. And this but the problem is once we add more data, the solution we got becomes not self-constant with our method. Meaning that if we found some solution requiring this Hubble constant or no increase in chi-square, and if we implement this solution to class and do parameter estimation, we are seeing some deviation from expected value. The one reason can be as we add more data, we have more, for example, parameters are more constrained, so it's difficult to find some modification in whatever tube or under some approximation we made.
Okay, so very interesting. Yeah. Again, just one last thing. I think maybe the other people have mentioned this as well. I think maybe a more natural prior would be one where the time derivative of the electron mass is minimized and not delta ME. So it could switch from one value to another. It shouldn't always go back to the same value. I mean, it would be interesting to see whether that would give you something that it looks more reasonable.
Actually, we tried that. But it was a bit difficult because if we only minimize this derivative, it gives us just zero solution.
Just gives you zero solution.
Yeah. Derivative zero is best solution in that case because we are minimizing this derivative. So we have to find some combination of a solution. For example, we can wait using some derivative and also we can add some contribution from, for example, norm over this solution.
But I don't understand this. Sorry, no. I mean, like, so your prior has some amplitude, right? Like the prior has some like normalization, and as you dial that normalization up and down, it'll then either more strongly favor the prior versus the, you know, versus the likelihood. I'm just puzzled that you can't find some way to have a prior on minimizing the slope rather than the value.
So I'm not saying it's impossible, but we tried several ways. So first, if we only try to minimize instead of norm, if we want to minimize norm of derivatives, for example, then it always gives me zero solution.
better would be to have a dynamical, that some sort of dynamical field which is evolving, right? That would be the more physical thing you'd expect. And that's actually not requiring the derivative to be zero or the value to be zero. It's going to be some profile that you're going to follow, mm-hmm. right? You'd predict. And there are models that do that. It's I don't know how, you know, what the best one is to choose, but it's but it sounds like you're looking for the things you're demanding of these of your fits are coming out of they're kind of fit speak as opposed to physics speak. Dynamics isn't giving it to you.
Yeah. So actually, if we can get some smooth shape, that will be a more interesting solution. So we actually tried hard to get such solution using this method. But from my experience using this method, because this all the derivative with derivatives of this specific chi-squared and cosmological parameter, they non-linearly depend on this change in electron mass. For example, this quadratic term in specific chi-squared, it's very difficult to get smooth shape.
I'm surprised by that.
Mm-hmm. Or then maybe that difficulty means that it's not this, looking at this electron mass modification is not good solution or good candidate for Hubble tension solution. There may be some conclusion we can get from this situation.
So since we're 7 past the hour, why don't we stop here? So thanks again, Anum.